All right, well, let's go ahead. Let's get started here. Thanks, everybody, for making it out. This is going to be a talk on Reactive UI, a little bit of Reactive Extensions, but talking about using it in a Xamarin Forms application. My name is Mike Stonis. There's my Twitter handle up there. It's just my name. I'm based out of Chicago, work for a company called 8bot, where we do consulting for Xamarin applications, cloud stuff, Azure, things like that. So. If you have any questions or whatever, you can come grab me later on. Big shout out to all the sponsors for helping make this happen. None of us would be here without this, so thanks to everybody who helped make this actually possible. It's super exciting. And then obviously, the app. If you don't have the app by now, I don't know how you made it here or what you're doing, but you should probably go download it if you haven't grabbed it already. So, before we jump into everything, I just want to do like a quick show of hands. Who here has ever used Reactive Extensions? Couple people? All right. Who here uses an MVVM framework in your application? A lot of people. Prism? MVVM Cross? MVVM Lite? Anybody use Reactive UI?
Yeah.
This guy? A couple people here. I like all these people that just raised their hand at the end there. So. We're going to be talking about Reactive UI, obviously, for the session here. So, but it's cool because it's cool that everybody here uses an MVVM framework because you'll kind of have like a frame of reference for it, and we'll talk about bringing that in later on as well. Reactive UI, if you're not familiar with it or if you've never heard about it before, it's kind of like an MVVM framework. It's like a light MVVM framework or sort of like the mismatch MVVM framework. I'll explain that again in a little bit. It's been around for quite some time. It was actually originally created by Anna Betts and the GitHub team, and they used it as part of the GitHub desktop application. So it's something that like everybody's actually probably used an application that had it in there before. And it's used for some stuff like some Visual Studio plugins and things like that as well. It's a declarative, sort of asynchronous friendly way to build UIs, which is pretty neat, as we'll dive into as well. And it's supported on like every single platform. It's like Windows Forms, UWP, WPF, Evlonia, Tizen, what's it? Uno. Do we have any Uno people here? We support Uno. but like it's like a fully supported, kind of like runs everywhere sort of MVVM framework. Key features of Reactive UI then that we're going to dive into here. It's got all the stuff that you would expect an MVVM framework to have. There's sort of a base view model in there with Reactive Object. It's got some platform wrappers out there to help do things with your actual runtime platform a little bit easier. Data binding, commanding, all that kind of good stuff. But at the end of the day, Reactive UI is actually kind of like the un-MVVM framework. And what I mean by that specifically is that Reactive UI sort of at its heart, at its core, is just a bunch of extension methods. Like, I'm not going to pick on anybody here. Like, I'm definitely not going to pick on Prism. I'm super definitely not going to pick on MVVM Cross. But like, some of those frameworks are pretty prescriptive. They say like, when you build this thing, it kind of needs to be built exactly this way. Or when you want to, implement a page, it needs to follow this exact pattern. Reactive UI kind of doesn't care. It's sort of like, yeah, whatever, all right, you do you. We've got some stuff to make your life easier, but you don't have to actually like follow our patterns. We've just got some stuff to make your life better, right? There are patterns if you want to follow them, but you don't have to. And what's cool about that is that Reactive UI actually works really nicely with a bunch of other MVVM frameworks. I like to think of it sort of as the capybara of MVVM frameworks, right? I don't know if you guys know what a capybara is. It's like this giant gerbil type thing. And like every animal on earth seems to love it. Like every time you see pictures of it, it's like hanging out with alligators and birds and they're just chilling. I don't know. It's sort of Reactive UI, right? So you can use Reactive UI by itself as is. A lot of people use it that way. But if you already use something like Prism or MVVM Cross, you could pull Reactive UI into your project and sort of use its superpowers along with the framework that you already know and love, right? And so, let's take a few minutes here to go through and kind of look at those superpowers and what comes with Reactive UI itself. So Reactive UI is Reactive UI runtime comes with three core libraries. We've got the Reactive Extensions. The Reactive Extensions, if you're not familiar with them, This talk might be a little bit crazy. We're gonna see some things that might not fully make sense. But from a high level, is they give us the ability to process streams of data. You know, think things that happen like button click events, input that's coming from a user, anything that sort of is providing, you know, a stream of events that we need to handle and process further. And so for us, this is kind of core and key for everything that we do, because if you think of building a user interface for an application, specifically something like a mobile user interface where people are tapping and swiping and doing all this kind of stuff, Reactive Extensions is going to make our lives a lot easier to handle those interactions. The next thing that it comes with here, actually, we kind of go here, but it's, you know, it's sort of like Link. It uses a Link-like syntax to do all of your operations. So if you're familiar with using Link to do things like a select statement and a where statement and stuff like that, Reactive Extensions kind of follows that same functional or sort of fluent pattern for writing out your code as well. And then it makes a bunch of operators that are typically kind of difficult to do very easy. So I don't know if anybody went and saw Shane's presentation a little bit earlier today, but he was showing off some operators like a debounce operator or a throttle operator, stuff like that, where if you're building sort of that type ahead Google search thing and you don't want to go call an API until somebody stopped typing for 2 seconds, traditionally writing that code in C# is kind of a pain in the butt, but with Reactive Extensions, that stuff just becomes you know, extremely simple there. The next thing that Reactive UI comes with is Splat. It's kind of a goofy name for a really simple service locator, right? So Splat is not, you know, your autofac, it's not an inject, it's not, it does everything and I just give it an interface and it resolves every interface at runtime, kind of dependency injection or IOC container. It was purpose-built to be sort of used for mobile or to be used in a very simplistic manner and to provide very fast interface resolution, right? So again, if we're using this in a Xamarin Forms application, we're probably running the application on a mobile piece of hardware and we just want really quick resolution of interfaces, and Splat gives that to us. It's got a couple other things that come along with it as well, like there is a logging framework that's inside of there that you could use sort of out of the box, or you could hook it into other logging frameworks if you want. And then it's got other things like cross-platform type translators. You know, if I give you a color, let me convert it into the native color, like that type of stuff. Or if I give you like a rectangle, let me convert some of that stuff. The last thing, and this is sort of a new addition or a newer addition to Reactive UI, is dynamic data. Who here uses observable collection that comes with forms? Who here loves observable collection? Oh, where are all those hands, everybody? Like, come on, it's cool. Who's ever like tried to do like I've got 1,000 items and I need to insert them into an observable collection, and then you see like your UI totally spaz out and not load or whatever? Dynamic data it helps resolve all those issues. Again, like even if you don't want to use Reactive UI or whatever, check out dynamic data because again, it provides like this a bunch of built-in operators, like link style operators, to do things like filtering data and transforming data and doing all the sort of difficult stuff in like a super easy manner. The guy who originally created it, Roland, is some kind of wizard, so he did a pretty incredible job, and we can kind of piggyback on that with it being the Reactive UI team and kind of get his superpowers as well. Like I said, it's sort of the Batman's utility belt as an observable collection. And every time you're like, this doesn't do that, you kind of dig in there further, and you're like, oh man, this guy already built that for us. So it's pretty killer. In order to get Reactive UI set up and installed, you know, you just go out to NuGet, grab a couple packages. I've got the three that I'm going to show off here, at least for today's presentation. We're going to go and grab the Reactive UI XAMPP Forms. There's an events package that we're going to pull in, and then core Reactive UI itself. We're just going to want to install those to your different runtime platform projects, right? So add those into your iOS project, your Android project, your net standard project, your shared code type project, if you've got a forms application out there. And again, like I said, if you're doing something for like WinForms or WPF, just add in that, you know, everything that we'll look at here should work the exact same way. You would just go and grab the corresponding package for that runtime platform. Cool. So that's kind of a high level what a Reactive UI is. So what I want to do next is take a look at sort of the features that come inside of Reactive UI, the stuff that actually comes, you know, with the MVVM framework. And I thought the best place to start here would be the view model components. And for us with Reactive UI, that's going to be our reactive object. So this is sort of our base view model inside of Reactive UI. And it's gonna do things for us like provide us, you know, iNotify property changed. It's gonna give us some other abilities like things to suppress change notifications, as we'll see here. Some logging, error routing, and stuff like that. But it's sort of just like our core view model component. And so, can everybody read that okay? I kind of got this in a slide. I tried to make the font super jumbo size, so it's easier to read here. But if we look at like a simple view model that I'm building out, maybe this is for some kind of like login page or like a user object, what I could do is just build out an object like this that's gonna use, excuse me, the reactive object is my base. I could set up my properties here, and in this case, you'll see I've got my setter that makes a call to a method called raise instead of changed. And so this is sort of an intelligent iNotify property change implementation, where if you have a first name set, let's say you set the first name to Michael, and then you set the first name again to Michael, it won't raise a change notification on the second one, right? So we've probably all seen that or implemented that similar ourselves in the past as well. Another thing that's kind of neat that that we could do out here in this reactive object is we've got this helper, class that we could use called observable as property helper. And everybody's probably seen something like this before, or had this kind of issue before, where you've got two properties that you want to assign. Let's say it's your first name and your last name, and whenever you change those two variables, you want it to update some formatted name. Like, I'd really like it to be formatted as last name, comma, first name. If you're doing something else, you know, if you're doing like a traditional iNotify property change, you might have to like, inside of the setter for the first name and the last name, make a call out to update, you know, to send a notification from the formatted name. But what we could do with this is just create this new property. It's observable as property helper. You'll see that it's got just a value that we assign to it. It's sort of a read-only property. And then what we could do inside of our view model is we could start to use those reactive extensions to bring this data together, right? So here you could see I've got a when any value, which in the reactive UI terms means whenever these properties update. So let me know whenever any value gets updated here. So let me know when somebody raises iNotify property changed. And what we're gonna say that we wanna do with that, you can see my mouse, yep. We're gonna say we're gonna do with that is we're gonna listen for my first name property to update, my last name property to update. And then this third parameter here is gonna say, give me the current or the most recent value of those two properties, right? Give me the most recent first name, the most recent last name. And then I've got a string formatter on the right-hand side there just to bring that together. And finally, I can make this fluent call out here to two property and just tell it, go raise the change for formatted name, right? So I could take these two together here and sort of chain those properties together and make that work that way as well. You might be looking at some of the syntax here, and it looks a little bit verbose, and I'm pretty lazy and I hate writing code. If I can get away with it, I'll avoid it. And so what we can actually use is another helper library called Fodi. Has anybody here ever used Fodi or heard of Fodi before? It looks like a good amount of people. If you've never heard of that before, boy, let me tell you, it's pretty cool. Like, it's a library that does sort of like compile time transformation of your code to inject in things like iNotify property changed. We could use it here with reactive. You'll notice that I've got these attributes out here on those properties where I say that they're reactive. And then at compile time, what it will do is it'll just take that plain old property and replace it with sort of the version that we had before, right? So if you were to open up the DLL and look at it in ILSpy or something like that, it'll actually have all the reactive change notification bits inside of it. Cool. Another thing that I find to be pretty helpful here is with reactive object, what we could do is we could actually tell it to suppress change notifications. It's something that I find is like weirdly hard to do if you have like just a regular object that raises property change. Like, you have to go in, and sometimes I'd make like a helper method that sets the private variable but doesn't raise the change. What we could do here is with our simple view model that uses reactive object, is I could say something like, hey, I'm gonna set the first name to Michael, last name to Stonis, and then I could use this using statement, and anything that I do inside of this using statement here, right, so we're gonna say, we got Michael here, oops, we're gonna set our, let me go back here, we're gonna set this suppress change notifications inside of this using statement, and then anything that I do inside of that block is not going to raise those change notifications, right? So I could change my name to Miguel, I could change my name to Mike, and after that block there, you know, or within that block, it's not gonna raise those notifications. As soon as I leave the block, you know, and I change first name afterwards, again, it will start sending out those change notifications. But as long as I've got that using statement out there, they're going to stop sending those, right? So in this case, the only change notification I would have received was when I originally set the property name to Michael. You could also do this, which is similar to suppress change notifications, but we've got delay change notifications. And so this is really helpful if you're going in and updating a property multiple times and you don't want it to send out, you know, to be overly chatty and send out too many property change notifications. This one, what it will do is, you know, here we could go in, change my name to Miguel, change it to Mike, and then once we leave this using statement block, what it will do is it'll kick out that change for Mike, right? And it doesn't just have to be one property. I could have made 5 or 10 different property changes inside of here, and then all of those changes, whatever the last value was to go through, will get pushed out to my user interfaces, right? So pretty cool things inside of sort of those the base part of Reactive Object there. The thing that I'm pretty amped up about, though, is this thing called Reactive Command. Reactive Command is like a really good implementation of iCommand. So everybody here probably uses like the Xamarin Forms command. I'm guessing most people have probably used it. Who here uses the can execute portion of iCommand? Like, you guys are all lying. There's no way. I'm just kidding. Like, it's kind of a pain in the butt to set up like that can execute, right? You got to go in and set up like an event handler type thing to listen for it and do some stuff around there. We'll show you some neat things we could do with Reactive Command. It supports the ability to do asynchronous and synchronous calls right out of the box, which is pretty neat. It provides a way, you know, like a very like practical and easy to use way to disable the command, as we'll find out as well. It also supports things like command cancellation. So if I'm doing a long running process, maybe I'm calling an API, and midway through my user wants to cancel that, we've got pretty easy operators just to shut down those operations. And it works just totally fine with Xamarin Forms. So like, you know, it implements iCommand at the end of the day, and it just bakes right in to Forms super easily there. So let's take a look at just a quick application that I wrote up. And this is a pretty typical workflow that we have with clients. And I thought that this would be a good illustration of what we could do with Reactive Command. So here you can see I'm updating a user interface for a login screen. I'm filling in my username. I'm putting in my password. And if you notice down below on that login button, and I'll actually go back here a little bit, just kind of pause it. If you look at the login button, you'll notice that at one point in time, it goes from being disabled. Right here, my login button's disabled, but as soon as I type in a password, the login button enables, right? It becomes available to me, right? Some other things that you might notice here, if I continue to let this run, is I'll type in my password, and then as I click the login button, you'll notice two things. One, the login button itself is going to disable, and then two, you'll notice a loading indicator shown on the screen. Right? And so this is a pretty typical use case for what we want to do as developers. What if I told you we could get all of that functionality from one reactive command? It's pretty neat, right? So without having to do a whole bunch of crazy code, we could just implement this and have it provide all that functionality for us, right? Or have that be the source of all this functionality for us. So to do a reactive command for reactive UI, what we're going to do is use this reactive command object here. And it's going to take two parameters. The first parameter is going to be the data that's coming into the command. So it's going to be typed data. So unlike a regular command where you just kind of get object in and then it's up to you to figure out what the hell it is, this actually tells you what's coming in. If you've never seen this type of unit before, if you're not familiar with reactive extensions, unit is kind of like a void notification. It's saying, hey, something happened. You shouldn't care about this payload whatsoever, though. I'm just letting you know that something happened or that somebody's notified you. And then so that's our input type. And then the second parameter there is our output type, right? So this is the data that's going to flow out of our command once it completes running. To create a reactive command, then, what we do is we build a little story like this. So starts up at the top, and we're going to say, I want to create a reactive command. And I'm going to tell it that I want to create it from a task, right? So I want to do an asynchronous process with this command. Like I said before, you could do this with a synchronous process. You could actually create commands from observables or have them fire off observables when they run. And you could even create commands from other commands if you want to get crazy with it. But we're just going to look at a kind of a simple example here. The first parameter that I'm going to pass to that command then is going to be my unit of work. Right, so this is my method that I want to execute to go do my work. And here you'll notice that even though I specified my command in the previous slide with taking unit in, here we're just going to say, you know, it's just a no parameter input, right? Because again, with unit, I really don't care about it. So here I'm just going to say we really don't care about the input. And then inside of there, I'm just going to go and make some call, right? Maybe it's just like an API call or something like that to go do some work. And then at the end of that work, I'm going to kick out a result. You know, did you log in successfully or unsuccessfully? Just give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down. The second parameter that we have with our command then is the controller for when that command can execute. So this is a when any value again. So the when any value, as we kind of saw earlier, means that properties have changed. And so this when any value is going to take the combination of our username and password. And again, it's kind of cheesy and simple, but we're just going to validate that you have data inside of those two properties, right? And so as soon as we have a value in both username and password, then that will enable our command to execute, which is pretty cool. What the reactive command's also going to do is it's going to provide some feedback to our user interface, or it's going to provide some feedback, excuse me, that we could subscribe to that's going to let us know whether or not the command is executing, right? So there's actually property that we could listen to as part of our, or it's an observable that we could subscribe to as part of our command that will tell us whether or not the unit of work that we're doing for this command is currently executing. And so that's what I was using in that example out there to disable or to show the loading indicator, you know, and that lets it run. Another thing that's kind of neat about reactive commands is that while they are executing, they can disable themselves, right? So we could have it disable itself. So that login button, I didn't have to worry about like users double tapping into it. I didn't have to worry about manually disabling that command or anything like that. Essentially, as long as this unit of work is running, that command is disabled, right? So it's kind of a neat thing. It sort of solves a bunch of like typical use case problems that we have with commands out there. So it's really neat. It's something I really love. Next up, I want to talk about interactions. So interactions give us a way to, in a very like agnostic way and sort of, you know, not platform specific or anything like that way, break out from our view model to some other process to get feedback back to our view model, right? And so this is a very typical interaction that we have, right? You're in the middle of some sign up process and you're like, hey, I need to ask the user, you know, like, can I, you know, send you, can I send you information later on? And they could say okay or cancel, right? And it's like right in the middle of some workflow. What we could do is we could just slap this interaction right into the middle of something like a command, go out to our user interface, have it handle that interaction, and bring that data back, as we'll find out here. And it doesn't have anything to do with like an actual platform implementation. It's just a real simple construct that we could use on our platform or that we could even mock out as part of a unit test. Interactions look surprisingly, or unsurprisingly, I should say, maybe just like a reactive command, right? So you'd create an interaction here. You're going to tell it the data that's coming in, so you're going to give it that input type. You're going to tell it the output type, so I'm going to pass a string in, and I'm going to expect to get a Boolean back. And then inside of something like a command, like I said before, what we could do is we could take our interaction and we can make a call to the handle method. And since this interaction is looking for a string value in, what we could do is we could send a message to it like, are you sure you want to do work? And then over in our user interface, what we could do, you know, it's like somewhere in our page, what we could do is take our view model, listen for that interaction, and register a handler. And so whenever we call that, that handle call inside of our view model, this is going to actually fire off here. We could do whatever we need to do on a platform-specific basis or an implementation-specific basis. In this case, we're just using forms to show an alert out there, like I said, for register handler. We can show an alert out here, and it could be, you know, a synchronous process, or in this case, we've got an asynchronous process, so that can actually run out there and take whatever time it needs. And finally, once it's completed, we just make a call to set output, and that will send that notification back to our view model, and we can just continue processing along our way, right? So we've kind of broken out of our view model back into native land or back into the runtime land, and now we can go right back to our view model and not even like skip a beat. We didn't have to build anything janky. We didn't have to build a bunch of like weird interfaces to go do that. That's sort of a simple way. Yeah?
So in this case, you're executing something on the background, and then you're notifying back to your view. How do you handle like switching from different threads?
I don't have it in this example, but reactive UI, and I'll show you, I'll have it in a future example, but the simple answer is reactive UI has a bunch of really simple helpers to allow us to switch threads. So I could very easily specifically tell this thing, like, when this runs, make sure it always runs on the UI thread. And I'll show an example of that here in just a few minutes to kind of give you a feel for it, but it's sort of like a super painless way to say, like, guarantee that this runs on the UI thread. So you don't have to do something like device.beginInvoke on main thread, and then you got this stupid Lambda thing that you always hate, and you're like, and then it's like async, and how do I like await that coming back? And whatever, you know. It'll make it really easy to handle this stuff. So that's kind of like the core. There's a lot more sort of core stuff that comes with reactive UI, but in terms of like the view model components, these are some of the heavy hitters, some of the ones that you would use sort of day in and day out, that command, those properties, and then these interactions. Next up then, what we could look at here are going to be our UI components, right? So our UI components are gonna be the things that actually allow us to glue this up to a user interface. And reactive UI is pretty cool and kind of unique for this. So, you know, we get the typical things that we'd expect out of the box. With an MVVM framework, we get bindings, one-way bindings, two-way bindings. We've got some cool stuff for built-in type conversion. There's command binding. We can even do things like, you know, when does the binding update its source, so we can kind of control how notifications get pushed back. But the one thing that I think is super cool about reactive UI bindings is that they work like the exact same on every single platform. So if you're using these bindings in a Xamarin Forms application, or a Xamarin iOS application, or an Android application, or a WinForms application, you write these bindings the exact same way, and they work on all those platforms. So you don't have to learn like a different binding language or anything like that. It's sort of like you learn reactive UI once, and then, you know, like, I haven't written a WinForms application since forever, but I'm sure I could pick it up, and just using all this stuff that comes with reactive UI, kind of use this binding pattern and look like I actually know what the hell I would be doing out there, right? So the bindings here, you know, they're separate from the Xamarin Forms bindings. And, you know, just to call back to earlier, if you don't want to use these bindings with reactive UI, don't. It doesn't matter. You could use the stuff that comes straight out of the box, use the bindings that come with forms. If you like how Prism does it, if you like how MVVM Cross does it, cool. You don't need to use these. But you're insane to not use these because these are pretty awesome. Right, so the way that these bindings work then is a little bit like this. So this is in the context of user interface components. So again, if we're talking about forms, this would be out on a page, getting this hosted up there. And what this allows us to do then is we would have something like this dot operator. And so I would say like this, this being my view that's hosting my, that's gonna host my bindings. The first parameter that I would send into the bindings then would be something like our view model. Like, so here's gonna be our notifier. Here's gonna be the thing that we wanna bind up to. So in this case, I wanna bind my view, my this being my view, to my view model being, you know, my view model. So this is the one that's gonna provide the value. The second parameter then is going to be the notifying property. So I wanna know anytime my username property changes. And then finally out here, I'm gonna say I want to bind this to something else. So in this case, the view is gonna be the actual view that's hosting this, and I wanna update my username text property, right? This binding, as it's written up here, is a two-way binding, so this will take the initial value from my view model and push it into the user interface, and then as I update the user interface, it will continue to push that back to the view model afterwards, which is pretty cool. But there is support for things like one-way binding, so you could just say, you know, it's basically the exact same thing, just take data from the view model and pump it straight into the user interface here. And you can also do things like command binding, right? So in this case, the view is gonna have a start work button, and the control that goes into that last parameter just needs to implement the command pattern. So it needs to have the control that's in that last property there, if it's like a Xamarin Forms button, for example, it just needs to have a command and a command parameter property inside of it, right? And so if you have that, you could just say bind command, and then this will handle everything else getting passed to that that command out there. And it's not shown here, but if you wanted to, you could also optionally bind the command parameter. So if you had some kind of data that you wanted to send in, whether it was data that came off the view model or something that came from your view, you can actually pass that into that bind command as well. So it's pretty, again, pretty neat. Inconsistent, right? It looks the same way over and over again. I'm going to call these like other bindings, because these are other ways that we could bind. But one of the coolest things that we have in Reactive UI are these two operators, one called whenAnyValue and another one called whenAnyObservable. We've already kind of looked at whenAnyValue a little bit here, but I'll just call it out again. And whenAnyValue does a couple cool things. So at its core, whenAnyValue lets us know when a property change notification occurs. So in this case, what I'm telling it is that I'm interested in the isValid property updating on some validation object, right? So just let me know whenever that property updates. What it also does, which is a little bit of magic, is it will subscribe to that property change, even if I replace the view model, or even if I replace that username validation object inside of it. So, you know, halfway through running my binding here, let's say I replace the view model with a new instance object of that view model, this whenAnyValue will continue to work and continue to listen to isValid property change. It's like the craziest little bit of magic that saved me so many times in doing things where you replace something. Maybe you don't replace the view model instance itself, but maybe you replace something, this validator, maybe you replace that halfway through working through a page, and then your binding stops working. In this case, it continues to work. And what we can also do with this then is we could chain this together using reactive extensions. So in this case, what I'm going to do is use this method here called select, just like we'd have it in link. And I could tell it that, you know, in this case, when I get that value of isValid, I really want to bind it to the color green or red, right? So I'm just going to make a quick runtime decision or maybe platform time decision as to what isValid means, right? So I don't need to do like a weird, I really don't like value converters, so like, I hate to harp on them, but like, I don't like writing them. This is sort of like the quick and dirty way or quick and easy way in reactive extensions to do value conversion, right? So I could take this, convert it to red or green, and it's super easy. And then we had a question before, like, hey, what if I want to make sure that this thing executes on the user interface thread? Well, what we could do is use this observe on operator here. And basically what this is going to say is, in this case, we're going to use the a thing called a scheduler that comes with part of Reactive UI. And this is basically just going to ensure that anything below that line executes on that provided thread, right? So in this case, I'm going to say observe on my main thread scheduler, which is like my UI thread scheduler. Just make sure that this runs on the UI thread. And then I'm going to bind this to the background color of a view in my user interface, right? And so it's just a nice little way to write like a little happy code block. It reads easy. You could see where the data comes in. You could see how it gets transformed. I can guarantee that it runs on the UI thread. And then finally, I can kick it out from here as well. With Reactive UI, then, there is another operator that's sort of very similar to whenAnyValue. It's got all those cool powers, like I mentioned before, where you could replace sort of inner properties, and it continues to work. whenAnyObservable, though, is used basically to listen to observable notifications. And so we'll use this primarily in our user interface apps to listen to the completion of a reactive command, or perhaps like the completion or the update of like an event or something like that. We might wrap an event to provide some kind of observable, in the background. And so this just gives us that same piece. So very similar to whenAnyValue, but like I said, just gives us like basically the ability to listen to the end of a command if you think of it from that way. One of the other things I want to show off here that's pretty cool that we could do with these bindings as well then is we could do things sort of on the fly asynchronously. So has anybody in Link ever tried to do like an async call inside of a select where you're like, hey, I've got a list of like URLs and I want to go enumerate through these and asynchronously call out to some web page and bring it back in? Well, with reactive extensions, it's cool with that. So I could just make a call to select many, for example, give it async. In this case, I'm just letting it display some alert to our user that they could handle, and then I can continue along my way, right? So again, like this is kind of just showing how I could use reactive extensions in combination with Reactive UI and kind of get some additional superpowers that we don't get out of the box with forms or kind of out of the box with Link and .NET, things like that. So cool. Next up, I want to talk about some additional helper libraries that we have as part of Reactive UI. This one's our validation library. So with the validation library, what you could do is inside of your view model is you could set up a validation rule, right? So the first parameter in there is going to be let me know whenever this value changes or gets updated. The second parameter that goes into there is this is my unit of work that I want to check to see whether or not this is valid, right? So if it's a username, let me know, you know, if it has a value assigned to it or not. And then finally, our third parameter is going to be the string that we would return out if we were not valid, right? So you must have a username in this case type of thing. Just like we saw with our other bindings then, our bind validation would go into our view side, and it works just like we were looking at with like a one-way bind or a regular two-way bind in Reactive UI, where I'd say, I want to listen to this view model, here's my validation object, and then you know assign it to this text on the string essentially whenever that fires off. So really cool. Super easy way to do validation that sort of works exactly, you know, pretty similar to how we already do binding and things like that in Reactive UI. So kind of nice from that perspective. Next up is another newer library that we've got out here. This is Sextant. And this is a navigation library for Reactive UI. So these are hot bits, I'll say. These are new. We actually have Rodney out here that's been working on this. So. It's just giving us like that view model-based navigation for Active UI. Again, you know, it just sort of gives us some of that more of a consistent way for us to implement our applications, a little bit more framework to Reactive UI. So also does some cool things too, like we could be notified of like when navigation events occur. So, you know, if you ever want to know like when did something finish animating or getting put on the screen, gives us some of that information for when those events occur. This next up one here is like my favorite bit of magic, and it will be a little bit hard to explain, but I'm gonna do my best, right? So one of the neat things that you could do with reactive extensions is take a regular event and wrap it as an observable. Again, if anybody here stopped at Shane's presentation earlier, he was showing off some of this stuff. The problem with it is that like the setup for it is a little bit verbose and kind of a pain in the butt. Like you got to remember it's like observable from event pattern. And then like sometimes the events don't just raise regular event args and they got their goofy event args and just setting it up is like a huge pain in the butt. But Glenn's part of the team has gone through and created this new library called PharmAssist. And what it will do, kind of similar to how that FODI library works, is it will look through the reference libraries as part of your project. So say we add Xamarin Forms to our project. And what it's going to do is it's going to comb through that library, find all the events, and automatically build wrappers for all of those observable wrappers for all of those events, you know, at build time. It's total magic, right? And it just makes it available to us. So in this case, like if I was in a page, you'll notice that I've got this new property out here called events. So this is just a regular, you know, .net or regular Xamarin Forms page, and I could say this.events. And then if I comb through this.events, you'll notice that I've got these new things like property changed that I've got highlighted out here. And if I were to hover out of this over this. You can see that it's an iObservable of property changed notifications, right? So then I could use this and use all that kind of cool filtering and processing and stuff like that that we get out of reactive extensions. So that's kind of the high level bits of everything that kind of comes with Reactive UI and reactive extensions. There are a lot, you know, it goes very deep, and I've only got 45 minutes. I'm going to be here for the next day. Come find me and ask me questions, and I'll be glad to talk yours about, you know, off about any kind of things in more detail. But, you know, this is the way that I feel about reactive extensions and reactive UI. Sort of like when two epic people come together in the coolest handshake that's ever occurred. Anybody here Predator fans? It's like my favorite movie of all time. Like, if anybody wants to talk about Predator, I'll definitely talk about it all day as well. None of this would be possible without support from the community, though, so I contribute lightly to Reactive UI. I wish I could contribute more, but realistically, like this team makes everything happen, and we owe them, like, or at least I owe them so much. So people like Glenn, Rodney, Worldbeater, Colt, Jeffrey, Kent, Anna, everybody here has like made this possible. We got Rodney in the room, so like thanks, Rodney. Just give him like a round of applause for making all this helpful and available to us. It's a massive massive time commitment and a huge support that we get from people like you and for everybody, honestly, who supports to open source projects. Like, thank you so much. I mean, everybody here has a job using all these open source projects, and sometimes maintainers don't get the love, I feel like. If you are interested in using Reactive UI, and you're like, I've looked online, but I didn't find like the awesome, most awesome documentation. One of those maintainers, Kent, wrote this book earlier this year. It's been last year. Okay, it had been in the works for a while. UI and Reactive UI. It is a fantastic book. I absolutely recommend it. Can't recommend it enough. Just kind of gives you all the ins and outs. Gives you great examples. He's got code examples and everything like that. I don't make a commission by selling this, but like, you definitely should go buy it and support Kent. It's an awesome book. So cool, yeah, so thank you. That's everything I've got here. We've got time for Q&A. I'm super knowledgeable about stuff, so like, ask me anything about Microsoft. I know everything and anything about it, no, just kidding. But yeah, I think we've got like 4 or 5 minutes. So if anybody has any questions, please feel free to ask away. Anybody? Anything? No? One in the back, yep. Sure.
And also a lot of the developers
are using
it to define. So kind of what we end up having is we have massive constructors, but all of those reactive code.
Sure.
So I spent a lot of time just trying to restructure that and make it a little bit more maintainable and easier to read.
Right.
So where do you go to kind of find better product? Or is that natural?
So yeah, so the question is, and I'll kind of pull up like a sample from earlier. You know, this one's kind of a good one, but imagine you had like, maybe not the best one, but imagine you had like 50 of these in a row doing all your work, right? And so the question was like, you know, because of this, I end up setting up a bunch of these and I get like one massive constructor in my code. There's a few ways you can mitigate this, and it all depends on everybody's coding style, right? So one of the things that you could do here is like inside this, you know, maybe the select menu, let's look at a different one. Let's look at something that's like, let's go back to a command. Instead of writing your method like right in line like we have in this style out here, you could abstract that method out and bring it into a, like a separate method all the way around and just make, you know, just provide the method name inside of there. As long as that method takes the same input and kicks out the same output, you don't have to define anything else. You literally would just put in a method called like get confirmation or something like that, and then you could get those out. You still end up with some amount just because there's kind of like some stuff that you can abstract away, but you can collapse it down a little bit that way. Personally, and maybe this is just like a preference type of thing, but I kind of love having these like big long stories of reactive chains because they read like stories. It tells me like, where did my data come in? What am I doing to my data? And then what am I doing at the end of it? So like our team will do a lot of things of like interspersing in between lines, like putting code comments and stuff like that, so that somebody who's coming in who's maybe not familiar with it can read it through. So it, you know, it doesn't solve that problem. You still end up with the, you know, 900 line constructor or 900, you know, line constructor that's running out there. But you know, you could also, I mean, if you had like logical ways to break it up, you could break it up into different operators. Like we kind of have like an abstraction for my team on top of Reactive UI. It's just sort of like our sort of pattern for doing it. And we've got like a set up observables or register observables sort of method, and then like a register validation method. So I know I can go to those methods, and they're basically our base class calls into those, you know. Right. Yep, and that's exactly what we do. Just because I know, like, especially if we're doing something for design of like a user interface, I'm likely gonna have some like validation. Maybe, you know, I'll have some commands, and you can just separate that stuff that way. But you can't totally avoid it, but kind of embrace it a little bit too. You know. Any other questions? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. So, yeah, so the question is like, if I call something from the main thread, I go to a background thread, and then I want to come back to the main thread, right? Can, you know, what? How do I manage that? So one thing we didn't look at here is, and I'll just pull it up, maybe just to look at where I've got some of that code. here. I do have this call out here to observe on. And so all of this, like this one any observable, you could use this in a user interface side of things, or you could use this like in your backend and your view model side of things. And one call that I don't have on here is one called subscribe on. And what that's going to allow me to do is with subscribe on is I could say for anything after that like first notification or whenever I like build my subscription actually to this chain of observables, I could tell it which thread to subscribe on, and I could tell it to subscribe on a background thread. So that would ensure that everything happen, no, everything below this happens on a background thread. If you need to make sure that you want some parts, you know, if you want it by default to execute on a background thread, but then go back to the UI thread, you would just put that observe on like right before the next command where you, or the next little code block where you want to do UI stuff. So I can kind of control the, you know, the thread area where my code is operating, if that makes sense. So, and you could also do, so you could with observe, so you can only put one subscribe on. It's only going to listen to subscribe on once. That's sort of your default place where you're going to subscribe to do work. And you could set it for your user interface or your, like a background threads, you know, background threads or something like that. But observe on, you could actually put in multiple times within an observable chain. So if you want to say start on the UI thread, midway through, switch to a background thread, and then near the end, switch back to a UI thread, you could do that with observe on multiple times inside of that chain. Correct. Yep. It depends on who's using this. So whenever you write the word subscribe or whenever you build a subscription with reactive extensions, it always kicks out a disposable. And it is basically best practice that whenever you're done with it, you know, be a good disposable owner and dispose of those. If you don't have like any outside references, you could just leave it for garbage collection and it will, you know, once it can't walk the chain, you know, that the container object is ready for garbage collection. All these subscriptions would get disposed as well. But if you want to be proactive, and that's like typically what we do, is we just always have that dispose with. Reactive UI comes with something called when activated. I didn't happen to show it here as part of this demo, but when activated gives you in a disposable, it's like an object that's like a list of disposables, and then you could just throw all of your, you can make this dispose with call and just put, have the framework basically automatically dispose of all the stuff for you, I guess. So you don't have to worry about implementing iDisposable yourself. Reactive UI gives us a facility to clean up all those disposables in like a pretty maintainable way, I guess. Yeah. Cool. Any other questions, comments, thoughts, concerns, personal health issues? Keep those to yourself. Well, cool. Well, thanks, everyone. Oh, we got one more question. Yeah, go ahead. Dot take, and you give it the number one. Yeah, and then it will only execute one time there, yeah. So a lot of the operators that you use in Link today, like if you think of something that exists in Link, we could use it here, plus a whole bunch of additional ones that come with reactive extensions that are more time-based as opposed to like iteration-based. I'm all done, yep. I'll shut it down for, yep. Cool. All right, they're pulling out the cannon and ripping me off. I will be hanging out here afterwards and be glad to answer any questions for you. Thanks for joining me at the end of the first day here. Hope everybody's having a good day.